Now, with more twists and turns than a cheap garden hose, Brexit took another lurch into the unknown this week, with a glimmer of hope emerging from the depths of despair. A meeting between Leo Varadkar and Boris Johnson in a country hotel in the northwest of England has led to an intensification of technical talks between Britain and the EU, and the hope that an 11th-hour deal might be on the cards. Well, Peter Hain is a former Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. He served in two Labour governments and is a member of the House of Lords. I spoke to him earlier and began by asking him if he believes that a deal can now be done before the October 31st deadline.
I don't know, because the what has always been attempted and up to now has failed is to square an impossible circle. That is to say, on the one hand, satisfy European Union and World Trade Organization rules. Those are legal rules. This is not something that you can politically do a sleight of hand on or rearrange or manipulate. These are legal rules about customs frontiers. And then on the other hand, the insistence by the right-wing hard Brexiteers who dominate the Conservative Party, unfortunately, supported by the DUP, to break out of the customs union on a, in my view, completely complete fantasy mission to negotiate better trade deals than what we have. So if they found a clever way of getting around that, well, good luck to them. But I remain sceptical.
If a deal is to be done, if they have found that clever way, as you say, it is likely to need the support of Labour MPs. You have Labour Remainer MPs today warning the Leave colleagues not to back Boris Johnson's deal because they say it would destroy the party and ruin its chances of winning the next election. What's your view?
I agree with that. We as a Labour Party have sadly not given the leadership on this question with the clarity that should have been the case. On the one hand, we have, under Boris Johnson's premiership, a very right-wing agenda in which the clear objectives stated and admitted now openly are to create a deregulated, lower standards future for the UK outside the European Union, a Trumpian kind of future where workers' rights are reduced, social standards are reduced, regulations are torn up. And so that's what this is about. And how on earth we've got ourselves into a situation as a Labour Party of being slightly equivocal, at least our leader, slightly equivocal on this issue, when we should be leading what is his historic crusade to save the country and also save the island of Ireland from the folly of this hard Brexit. So whether any Labour MPs do, and some, you know, for their own reasons, feel they want a deal almost at any cost rather than no deal, whether they vote for this Boris Johnson deal, if it happens, I don't know. But I think that they will be historically badly judged. Can I make one other point here? I think the Taoiseach this past week played a blinder by saying that he'd seen the possibility of a positive way future. I think that the Irish government has been in the right place all the way through this, just pointing out patiently and carefully and clinically the facts of the situation, as I described them earlier, about the consequences of having the external customs frontier of the European Union right across Ireland on a 300-mile border. But as I say, when you've got the DUP and the Jacob Rees-Mogg sort of European research group on the one hand, absolutely inflexible on these issues, and we saw that from Nigel Dodds only recently saying that he couldn't accept anything in this territory from the DUP.
Yes, I think, how difficult is it then going to be to get an agreement which meets the demands of the DUP if you have Nigel Dodds?
I don't see it being possible. I really don't see it being possible. Complying with the requirements of keeping the border open on the one hand and the necessity that the Irish government is rightly insisting on. And by the way, the British government should be as well, because the Irish government and the British government are equal parties to the Good Friday Belfast Agreement. It's an international treaty. And one side, namely London, has been reneging on that.
But there are others then in the unionist community, people like Jim Nicholson from the UUP, who've raised concerns that what Boris Johnson is doing is offering up Northern Ireland as a sacrificial lamb to save Brexit so that the rest of the UK can get out. And that would leave Northern Ireland in the waiting room for Irish unity. Could this deal further harm the peace process if it were to be done?
Well, as I say, it is not clear to me how it could be done, but then I'm not in the negotiating chamber and I don't know the detail of it. But on the principles involved, it really isn't clear. It's between a rock of the DUP and the European Research Group and the right-wing dominance of the Conservative position, which, by the way, propelled Boris Johnson into the leadership. That's his base. But if they decide that actually they are prepared to just make the concession they weren't under Theresa May and put Northern Ireland in a special place, that was actually the only way you were ever going to resolve this Brexit question, is for Northern Ireland to be in a special place. Now, I'm completely opposed to Brexit. I think it's a monumental act of national self-harm. And I think people who voted Leave were never told the truth, and that's why I'm in favour of a confirmatory referendum on whatever the outcome is, no deal, whatever deal it is.
Is there a danger, though, if you have a confirmatory referendum, as Keir Starmer suggested yesterday and as you're suggesting today, would you be concerned that that would open up another divisive referendum which could further damage politics and Britain's reputation?
Politics and Britain's reputation at the moment couldn't be lower. So, you know, I'm not saying a confirmatory referendum on a deal or no deal with the option of remaining would be a walk in a park, to borrow a phrase from Boris Johnson's advisor. I'm not saying it would be easy. It wouldn't. But we're in a very bad place now. Our reputation as a country, that's to say Britain's, across the world, has never been lower. So I don't think things can get much worse, and I think a confirmatory referendum would give the chance for people actually to confront some home truths. And by the way, I've said for the last year, when people have asked me from wherever in the world, what is going to happen, I've said, look, I've been in politics for 50 years. I used to be able to pride myself on having an idea what was going to come next, and I haven't a clue what will happen next, except it's going to get worse. My prediction for the last year in that respect has been proved correct, and I still think it will get worse. Britain has propelled itself into a quagmire here, which I think only a confirmatory referendum, or the option of the people taking breath, having the chance to say, this is really madness, this road we're going down, can get us out of that quagmire.
And that was former Northern Ireland Secretary and Labour peer Peter Hain speaking to me earlier. Carol.
Well, for more on this, I've been speaking to the Vice President of the European Parliament, German MEP Katharina Barley, and I began by asking her whether she felt a deal could now be done.
Well, it has always been our goal to have a deal that is fair for both sides. That has not changed at all. Of course, time is running out now, but we are still willing to do everything we can on our side.
And what can the EU do? Because negotiations, by their nature, involve a little give and a little take. What can the EU give at this point that might help get that deal to the finish line?
Well, we've always been very clear. We're very flexible on the way we get there. But there are two points that are absolutely essential. And the one is the, call it backstop or whatever else, the question of the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland to the Good Friday Agreement, essentially. And the other one is the integrity of the common market. Those are the two red lines that we are not willing or able to cross.
Now, if all sides now agree, as it appears to be the case, that the 300-mile-long Irish border has to be kept open, what form of customs arrangement might be palatable to the EU?
Well, to be very honest, I don't want to go into detail without knowing at all what is going to be proposed by the British side. I mean, just to bear in mind, we had an agreement, we have an agreement, we have agreed with a British government, and if now you want to have other solutions, it's the British government has to propose them. If they find some that are doable, we are really willing to do that, but it has to be clear, no border controls on the island, and on the other hand, integrity of the common market, protection of our EU-wide laws and rules. That is, if you find a way to combine the both, then we're happy to agree on that.
And that is that circle that has to be squared. From your knowledge of customs rules, can you fudge or do some kind of sleight of hand on customs, which are actually based on legal rules? Can you do this?
Yes, well, there are possibilities. I mean, there have been solutions proposed all along the way to have this the customs border between the island of Ireland and the island of Britain has been one of them already, which has been refused up to now. If that is one, which obviously is being discussed at the moment, we have already said that we would agree on that. There might be others, but we're open to anything there.
And of course, for Northern Ireland and the UK, it's a bit like saying, well, we're a married couple, we're still married, but we're not living together. Northern Ireland is living over with the EU. Are you, Germany, prepared to sanction something like that?
Well, you know, our interest is mainly to protect Ireland, which is part of the European Union and will stay with us. So what is in the Irish interest, we will protect. And, of course, to keep peace at the border, that is what we're up to, because it was with the support of the European Union that this peace has become possible in the first place. So I think what people have to bear in mind is that the whole solution we're talking about now is a temporary one. It's only for the time that we, UK and European Union, need to agree on a final treaty. So it's going to be a solution for 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. And as soon as we have agreed on a final treaty, this whole solution is obsolete. So I think to strengthen that, to stress that, it's really important to take out a bit of this aggression it always seems in the discussions with Brexiteers mostly that we want to hold the UK in the European Union or something like that. No, it's only about this short period of time.
And yet we know, Caterina Barley, that the EU would prefer no Brexit at all. The UK leaving could pose a huge threat to the future of the Union. Under what circumstances might we end up looking at another extension at the end of the week?
I'm not sure if this perception is correct. I mean, we of course respect the will of and the expressed wish of the British people. It was close, but it was an outcome of the referendum. The point is that we want this to work in a way that it harms both sides the least possible.
And that was the Vice President of the European Parliament, the German MEP Caterina Barley, talking to me earlier. Justin.
Let's get a view now from the Irish government, and we can talk to Minister for Agriculture Michael Creed, who joins us from the Radio na Gaeltachta studios in Ballyvourne. Minister, thanks for joining us. Has the Taoiseach briefed members of the Cabinet, including yourself, on the agreement that he appears to have done with Boris Johnson this week?
Good afternoon, Justin. No, there hasn't been any formal cabinet meeting. We will have a further cabinet meeting on Tuesday next. But there has been informal contacts between colleagues in terms of last week's Cheshire meeting, the sighting of a pathway to a possible deal, and obviously that moving from the UK to Brussels on Friday, and where we're at now in terms of the entering into negotiations.
And do you know how the details of how this pathway might emerge, where this might go?
Well, I think, Justin, it's probably best not to go into too much detailed commentary. I mean, our position has remained absolutely clear from the outset of the Brexit process. Our critical interests are in the context of protecting the Good Friday Agreement, the no emergence of a hard border infrastructure in that context, and therefore also protecting the all-island economy on the one hand, and conscious of our obligations in the context of the single market and the integrity of that, because losing access to one market in the current context and terms and conditions is one thing, but to put in jeopardy our access to the remaining single market would be unforgivable. So our concerns are framed within that those parameters, and we've been able to successfully prosecute those with the Theresa May government through the Barnier Task Force to give us the withdrawal agreement.
Yes,
if there's a new way.
And now you're looking at perhaps a different or a variation on that agreement. Does the Irish government trust Boris Johnson that he can get a deal through Parliament if it is agreed by the government and by the EU?
Well, I mean, undoubtedly the case, and the Taoiseach has stated this publicly, yes, we trust the British government and take them at their word in terms of their quest to reach an agreement that avoids a hard or a no-deal Brexit, and that deals with the critical issues of interest to us in terms of the Good Friday Agreement and the no hard border. Whether they can get that through the House of Commons and whether they can get it through within the time frame are issues that I can't really comment in detail on. I mean, you know, can we get this done by next Thursday, Friday? Would it require an extension of time, even with goodwill on all sides? And then can the UK government get it through, as Theresa May previously failed, to get an agreed revised withdrawal treaty through the House of Commons? They are very significant questions to which there is no clear answer at this stage.
The DUP's Nigel Dodds has already been out to pour cold water on the deal that's being mooted. He says that his party cannot work, or that this deal cannot work, because Northern Ireland has to remain fully part of the customs union. Is he right? I mean, how do you satisfy the conditions that the DUP want, which is for Northern Ireland to leave the customs union with the UK and avoid customs checks on the border at the same time?
Well, I think the point is worth reflecting on, that the people of Northern Ireland voted to remain. There is no single party, notwithstanding the Westminster arithmetic, there's no single party has a veto on what can be the outcome of these negotiations. And that applies, whether it's to Sinn Féin or to the DUP or anybody else in between. We have to find a way that meets the concerns that are recognised by the Commission, by the British government, and by the Irish government, and parties in Northern Ireland, to make sure that we do not revisit a chapter in our history that none of us want to reopen, and that we find a way of protecting the integrity of the single market as well. So I do, I'm not surprised by the commentary of the DUP, but they're just one voice, and, it would be perhaps inadvisable to go into any greater detail than that at this moment, but to say that we understand and have never been under any illusions about what the DUP stroke unionist voice is, but there are other voices that need to be reflected also.
If a deal is done, and time is very short on it, and it would possibly have to be, the nuts and bolts of it would have to be laid down before the end of this week, before the summit. If it is done, is there anything to prevent the Taoiseach from going to the country and calling a general election here before Christmas, if there is certainty around a Brexit deal?
Well, of course there isn't anything to stop him from doing so, but bear in mind, in all of the Taoiseach's utterances on these matters, he has expressed a preferred election date consistently to be May of 2020. And I haven't heard him make any expression to the contrary, even in the context of expectations being raised about a successful outcome to these negotiations, about which I would really think we should exercise some caution. There are very significant issues to be addressed here. We're not there yet, and I think we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves in terms of talking about an election date.
All right. Minister for Agriculture Michael Cree, thank you very much for joining us from the Reading Neglected Studios in Ballyvourney.